Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. We are back with another episode of Real Housewives of Potomac Season 3, Episode 6, I Came From Jesus. Tonight we're discussing Monique's accident. We're also going to get into this little girls trip and the fallout from bubble soccer. So tune in right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Right. Hey, yo, I've been on. You've been con. Bentley Tinson. Fendi Prince on. I mean, I've been song. X-Men been song. He keep on dialing Nikki like the Prince song. I've been on. You've been con. Bentley Tinson.
Yes.
Yes.
That's how you come back.
Okay.
That's how you come back, y'all. We are back with another episode of AfterBuzz TV. We're discussing The Real Housewives of Potomac Season 3, Episode 6, and it is heating all the way up. So I'm one of your hosts. I am Richie Scott. Who do I have with us tonight? Same crew.
Yeah. All that. Ronnie Jr. Hello.
Hello, everyone. I'm Nigeria Manal.
And we are your panel for this season. So I just want to go ahead and let's get this thing rolling. I want to know what your opinions are about this episode, because I got a lot. How'd you feel about it? Thoughts?
What a juicy episode, okay? I know a few episodes ago I said that was my last episode. My favorite, this right here. So juicy. Lots to talk about.
And you really did react to that, true as such, when we were outside of the studio before we got in here. Like, I read your energy, Nigeria. Like, as soon as I saw Nigeria and Richie as well, like, I don't know if you noticed this, Nigeria's like, yo, what did you think about the episode? I'm like,
oh, yeah, she asked me too.
We haven't had that moment yet from this season that we've all been like, we have to put ourselves on ice because we don't want to talk about it out there. We got to talk about it.
So
to say that Nigeria was feeling it, like, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it.
Lord.
Yeah.
I, hands down, my favorite episode of the season.
Mine too.
It's a big statement too.
So far.
I'll tell you guys that every season of every Housewives show that I love, there's always one episode that I could probably save on my iTunes and just watch it back at some point.
Yeah.
And for me, this is that episode from all three seasons.
And I don't even think this is the best of the best for season 3.
It's probably not.
That's why I said so far, because I have no idea what's to come.
Most of the stuff we saw in the season trailer have almost already hit, which goes to show that we have a whole batch of story.
Exactly.
Those batches. We have a whole batch of story that hasn't even come through yet. So. Right. Wow.
I know. I'm excited. It's like, where do we even go from here? And I think that, you know, for me, this episode was on par with what I, for me, one of my all-time favorite Housewives shows is Real Housewives of New York, because they're so fast-paced. They're just like, they go at it. They're friends again. They go at it. And that's what this group of women reminds me of. Like, they're really, you know, I feel like they really come out to play and they don't hold back this season. But they still maintain a sort of friendship amongst the group, and it doesn't feel hostile or toxic.
Going off that New York comment, I totally agree, because with New York, I will find myself watching the episodes, and there'll be Dorinda versus Sonia or whatever, and I'll literally be taking not really a side because I like Dorinda so much, but I like Sonia so much.
Hot mess of Sonia,
yeah. Versus other franchises where you'll have somebody you love going up against. Somebody. Like a Portia that you don't like type thing, you know?
I love Portia.
Well, I'm the only one.
She's fun.
She is.
But I do understand what you're saying. I feel you on that, because I feel like there's, honestly, when they're going at it on this show, there's nobody that I hate. I can see everybody's side. I'm just here for the ride, you know, eating my popcorn like Karen. I honestly have no idea where to even start with this episode. So I think that for me, I'm going to go ahead and start with the MVP of this episode, and I'm going to wager to say that that's Ashley. I feel like Ashley gets the MVP of this episode because she brought the emotion. She brought the mess.
Did she bring the mess, honey?
Yes. She brought a lot of mess. So let's dive right in with her and Michael. I want to discuss that because I feel like that's a big... it's a big thing for her. And I feel like, you know, I don't know if anybody out, if you guys can relate to this situation with having to choose between a family member and like your spouse or your significant other. But I feel like that's got to be a difficult situation.
I would imagine. Because
this feels very real.
Mm-hmm.
What I think about it is, okay, when the season started, we sort of already knew Michael, Ashley, the mother. It's going to be an issue. And what I'm going to say is in other seasons, and this is not knocking other seasons or even other storylines, when you see it more than three episodes, it gets tired. To your point a little bit there, I'm watching it and I feel like I'm watching it in real time. Like, right. I feel like I'm watching it as Ashley has the emotion. When she told that man, well, I can honestly tell you I can't just get rid of her. Like, I'm not going to do that. I mean, she's speaking of vulnerability that we've not seen in this series quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the flashbacks. I liked that we got to see that she has been trying to wean off her mother, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
I just hope it works. But it's very sticky for a girl like, you know, Ashley to get through.
I feel like... I understand Ashley's perspective, and I kind of understand Michael's perspective. He's a little cold to the situation. However, as a daughter of a single mother, you want to help your mom. You don't want you if you have the means to help your mom, you want to help your mom. However, it's with Michael's cash, right? So here's the thing. Here's why I'm on both sides, but I'm on Ashley's side. But I feel like her mom just for lack of better words, maybe she's a little tiny bit of a leech, just a little bit. Is that I don't know. That's what I'm getting. It just seems like just dragging on in this. Like her mom feels defeated, and maybe not even consciously or on purpose, but she's being a leech and doesn't even really realize it from what I'm seeing.
Well, I know for certain that the person that her mother's with is a leech.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And,
you know, and I feel like he's an emotional leech because I feel like he's draining her emotionally to the point where she feels like less of a person.
And that's why I get that defeated vibe from her.
Exactly.
You know?
And there's a child involved, which makes it even more challenging for Ashley and for the mom.
But here's the gag, though, because I was listening as they were showing the flashbacks, and she was detailing to Karen exactly how much. So that's $3,000 that you're paying for either rent or mortgage or whatever it
monthly,
and then you're paying an additional $1,500.
Yeah.
So in total, this is almost $5,000 that you are giving every single month to a certain degree. It's like... I can understand helping somebody for maybe a couple of like months or a year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I feel like, okay, that's enough time to, if you got to catch up on the bills, get those out of the way. And then now you should be back to a great point. And then there has to be that time frame within that marriage of saying, hey, this is all we can do because I still have to, as Michael would say, probably, I still have to do things for myself and the business.
Exactly. Like
and
I'll
us.
Help you and then you help yourself. I'll help you until you can help yourself. But I'm not going to be providing for you like you're my child. You
right,
know?
Especially when there's a grown man in the house.
And it doesn't matter how much money Michael has to like spare per se. It's just the fact that it's an advantage that is being taken from the mother and the boyfriend. And I think the best thing, and we've said it I think in the past, is that they do definitely need to just start weaning that off. They need to cut it. Like if you're in a bad situation and your daughter luckily has this way to provide a means for you, you don't get to be spoiled as well.
Right.
You get to be taken care of, but I don't know that you could be spoiled.
Exactly.
That is a little fair. And if you are going to be spoiled, let's get that hair in order and your body intact. If we're going to be critical to the mother,
here's what I was thinking.
Listen, for real.
Put these people to work at Oz, okay? Put mama to work at Oz. Put the leech to work at Oz doing ballet or something. I don't know. Somewhere in the back.
Call him a leech.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Can we see this guy?
No, we don't want to see it. You guys want to see him, huh?
I do. But I do think that there's a way that you can, like you guys said, wean them off of this allowance, you know, in some way, shape, or form. But otherwise, this has to be Ashley's Bravo check that goes to them.
Yeah.
If you want it, okay, here's the thing. If you're bringing money into the household, and if you want to continue to give your mother money, then you give her your money.
Right. And why does it have to be tent living or $5,000 living? Like, can we have, people don't, can we have a middle area, please?
Right.
I just thought of that. It was like,
we live in Los Angeles and it is not cheap here.
Okay.
So I know you can live under $5,000 every month and be okay.
And that's
right?
Why I said I wasn't critically shaming her look, but if you have that much being taken
much
care
money?
Of, I would say, well, gosh darn, get yourself a glow up or something. Like, Ashley's mom, we need to know more about Ashley's mom.
We do. I'm curious.
I don't want to be this critical because
I agree with you.
Ashley, come on the show. But I feel like this, you know, it's like you said, she is downtrodden at this point, to the point where I feel like this person is living, like, literally sucking the life out of her. And you can just, like,
you can see it in her eyes. You can see it when Ashley talks to her. She just looks defeated. I can't find another word.
Your makeup looks really good. I know it's off topic, but I stare at you, you know, for a living at this job, and it looks really nice.
Thank you, baby.
Sorry.
Damn.
I know that didn't mean anything, but.
Thank you, baby. You're glowing too, though.
Oh, thank you, honey.
I've been on.
You know, my glow up is in the beginning stages. Thank you. No, how about when Ashley, this was a really good storyline. Like I said, it didn't feel like storyline, it felt real. She said in an assemblage of words, who am I? Like, those three little words, wow. I felt translated really big, like, that when I watched the episode.
Well, it probably wouldn't be such a big question for her if, and this is what I want you guys' opinion on, I do understand Michael's point, but what I don't understand or agree with, and you guys can tell me if you think differently, is giving some type of ultimatum that says, if you don't do this, then this marriage is over.
Yeah, it's controlling.
That is not the way I feel like I would want a marriage to work.
Mm-mm.
So I don't feel, I think that by putting that restriction or that, I don't know what that is that you're putting on that relationship, but when you do that you are manipulating.
Absolutely.
And I almost wonder, I think this was the first time, I may be wrong, but I think it was the first time Ashley said, you know, she was expressing her frustration. And she said something along the lines of like, well, then I don't know, this might not work for us.
Right.
And I'm not saying she threw an ultimatum back, but it was the first time she did. And I think his answer was, we should just get back on our bicycles and leave. Therefore, saying it was the first time Ashley said, okay, I've been the threat of the ultimatum. Now I'll turn it around on you.
Right.
And it noticed his hoorah, slowed down a little bit.
He looked a little shook right there.
But guys, is it the first time that we saw him portray this? I'm going to go with the word controlling. Is this the first time that we've saw him be this way, even since the whole franchise started? I mean,
I think we've seen definitely glimpses of it.
Yeah, and it's coming out more. I mean, it seemed to me like, okay, she's standing up for herself, she's standing her ground, and then he's just like, and I really think the age factor has a lot to play in why he acts the way he acts with her. I think it's the money, and I also think it's the age difference.
Like a generational.
That, and also he's the breadwinner. He probably feels like, you know, she's this young girl and you should do what I say. I don't know. I've seen that.
So then my next question for you guys is, if, let's say that, you know, he follows through with this threat and Ashley, you know, is essentially at this point calling his bluff, who is going to provide for her mother if he pulls the plug on the marriage?
Well, definitely not her mother's boyfriend.
Is she going to still be able to do that? And I'm not trying to count her coins, but it's essential, I feel like, to the story.
Yeah.
You know, who's I mean, it, so she almost doesn't have a choice.
With that, that's very true. And with that said, I almost feel like we are on the verge of something really good happening with Ashley. Like, she's been on this show for 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. She's extremely likable. She's already has experience in the pageant world, this, that, and the other. I feel like because we don't see it on camera, we almost like don't understand her other ventures. But I feel like something is there. Ashley is extremely likable on this season.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I mean, I feel like, you know,
she may not be able to provide as expensive, but right. but still downsize and provide with her mother if that's what she wants to do.
She's going to have to do some real hard Bethany Frankeling if she wants to be able to do that.
I love that term.
You know what I mean? Because I just feel like what I don't see from her necessarily is that, let's call it entrepreneurial hustle. I don't necessarily see it outwardly. No, we definitely see her running the restaurant, but, you know, I want to come back to Ashley because there's more with her later. And speaking of entrepreneurs, I would love to talk about Karen.
Oh, okay. My girl Karen, who always looks fabulous in those confessionals, by the way.
She does. Mm. And we know the people that do that. Mm-hmm. But I have to speak about this moment because I was not here last week to share in my glee at watching Karen's runaway wig.
Lord.
Listen. Fantastic. That was TV gold right there. I could not get enough of it. I watched it like, I think, 10 times.
I thought the press conference was the best she brought. But then we get this other gift. She says she knows how to lock it down, but she didn't lock it down.
The odd thing about this is we're reminded that she has a hairline as
exactly.
well.
Like, exactly.
But I noticed that in this episode, she mentioned that it was only for patients who were losing their hair. So, I mean, I guess maybe that's why we don't see more of it. But what do you guys think about this whole perfume scent line or whatever it is?
Or whatever it is. I'm curious to know more about it. I'm intrigued. I just want to know more about it. That's where I'm at with it.
I think the way life goes is when you start a venture, especially in this situation, so many of these women do start ventures. They all fizzle for the most part. A couple of them do make it out. Your goal as the entrepreneur is to understand that criticism is going to come, but just to push through. And right. I think Karen has every bit the intelligence to make it happen. Obviously, we're on the downside of the success. But what I do like about it is Karen is no... She's smarter than we all think. You know what I mean? Like, who, you know, she makes sure what she says is going to make sense for something else she says later. There's no question about that in how
strategic.
I see Karen. Yeah, she's very strategic marketing. Thank you. But the thing about it that I think maybe can cross over eventually, let's not get ahead of our britches, right, is that the thing with Ray, Raven's out to college. I don't know. If Karen does buckle down and lock it down, it might work. Is that too optimistic?
No, I'm just curious as to what you guys were thinking as you were watching it, because I was thinking to myself, like, oh, okay. And I've, you know, following her Instagram, I knew that this was something that she was going for. So I'm excited to see it play out on the show. I just didn't necessarily know if brand-wise it was the right fit, because I don't know if I see it. But I'm not her, and I feel like congrats to her, and I want it to succeed.
And that's a very admirable niche demographic too, because it's a beautiful thing, right?
Well, I do think that, but what I think would be better for her, Karen, listen, financial education for women. That is, I feel like that could be her thing, because how empowering would that be? For her, as this married woman who has a husband who is going through these crazy tax issues, you know, and for her to be able to say, you know what, my husband is going through this, so I know what this is. Do you know how many people out there are in financial? Look at her. She has the history. She's worked. She grew up on a farm. She worked at Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
She literally, you know, brought herself up. So why not educate other women on, you know, being financially responsible, investing, or whatever it is? I just feel like that will work for her.
Great argument. I think I veto what I said before about her hairline, that I do think that might be the better way to go. Because she was on Watch What Happens Live yesterday, and she talked about maybe writing a book. It wasn't a serious thing, but yeah, she has a lot to speak on. The thing about Karen that's great is, even at Taco Bell, she was the grande dame in her mind, and right. there's an empowerment about her.
And you hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. And it all, really, everything you do starts in your mind.
It does.
Right?
It does.
So for her to be able to go out and empower women in that capacity, I just feel like that would be her thing.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you don't want somebody who's so far up there, lived this great life,
never
hit a bump in a road. I need a bump in a road when they're going
to
talk to me. You
how
know?
Can I relate to you otherwise?
Because we've all had bumps.
Absolutely.
You know, so I think that would be, in my mind, I kept saying that to myself, like, why isn't she taking advantage of, you know, this whole, you know, low point in her life to make it something really great.
I kind of want to give her co-MVP. I know you gave MVP to Ashley.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
I think she gets co-MVP in this episode. Yeah, she's bringing it.
She does.
Karen is, to me, every one of these women, to me, I'm loving more and more as the episodes go on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Karen has just been a source of laughs this entire season.
She has.
Do you think she puts on at times too? Like the whole Jackie Christie Basketball Wives type thing? Do you think she's in on the gag?
Oh my God, I almost choked because I just realized that I can sort of see that commonality. Like I see that.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's the Jackie Christie.
She really
much
is.
More elegant, but
right, but she is the Jackie Christie.
Yeah.
You can't have Basketball Wives and not have, at this point, and not have Jackie.
Exactly. And people who watch these shows forget that, too. They forget. They only want to think of their favorites as the people that are up. By the way, those people that, like, either stir the pot or create stuff, they're very pivotal. So
or a little off the wall. Like, yeah.
try getting a season 2 or a season 3 without Delicious Karen. It's not going to happen.
I don't want it.
Me either.
From the moment she was sipping her little water bottle with the little straw,
and she did
it with all the class, and oh, God, I live for those moments. Yeah.
Love Karen. I can definitely see her getting the co-MVP for this sort of season, I think, honestly. Because we focused a lot on her, particularly in those first couple of episodes.
Yep.
I want to, you know, we talked a little bit about empowering women. I think it's only right that we mention our great new podcast that we have out with our AfterBuzz TV founder.
Okay, guys, want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? For those who do, have we got a podcast for you. It's Conversations with Maria Menounos. It's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversation with Maria features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secret tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life, guys. I mean, get into this. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. And guess what? Just go to iTunes and subscribe, and it's free. Conversations with Maria Menounos. Now, say it one more time.
Conversations with Maria Menounos.
Conversations with Maria Menounos.
And there it is, you guys.
It is good. They give a lot of tips. One of the struggles I've been having, you guys, is I'm over 35 now, but it's like I just keep getting this weight. Just like, no, even if I try, versus back in the day, I would try and the weight would, you know, kind of lose a little easier. So I have been turning to Conversations with Maria Menounos to like understand, like there's so much more to like setting a goal and how it's more about how you're going to accomplish it. She had an episode that had to do with the food and the intake and how you prioritize your life. So it's been really good. So I say that to say, please go check it out yourself.
And the great thing about Maria, just like we talked about with Karen, is she's been through that. She's been in the industry. She's had challenges that she's faced. And so she is coming from her perspective of somebody who knows.
Absolutely.
So you guys make sure to tune into that. It's every Friday. Moving from one boss to another boss, let's talk about Monique. Monique has a lot going on, it seems. What did you guys think about Monique in this episode?
I liked her in this episode. I did. I'll say that. How about you, Ronnie?
Well, I think first and foremost, I think the, why is everyone looking at me?
I'm interested to see what you're going to say.
I think the, I think that, I mean, the accident issue is very challenging.
Absolutely.
I'm very, and I, maybe we're not jumping to that, but I'm very curious to know what was actually edited out. And I say that because it didn't seem like a big hoorah to her. Now, if I'm going to be critical, I also got to be, as the great McCall Hall always says, let's have a transparent moment. I say that every time.
I love McCall.
Right. Literally one of the greatest AfterBuzz gifts you're ever going to have. But let's have a transparent moment. I say that to say I was in a situation quite similar. Mm. It was right after I was in high school, and I was starting to do extra work on TV or whatnot. So I was trying to balance. People in my type of person, whatever, finances, none of us went to college. So your high school friends meant a lot to you. But here I was trying to start my career, whatever, and doing extra work, balancing it all. Tried to do too much. Reminded me of Monique doing, you know, waking up at this time. And I had to go to this high school party, even though I worked a 15-hour day and commuted. And I know that the party did lend to some drinking. And I know that being awake almost 30 hours was a nightmare. And I did get in an accident. And what I'm saying is I wonder what wasn't edited in because they made it look like Monique just brushed it off. And they did touch on it a little, but I thought immediately, oh, my God, because I took out a poll. It was dramatic. car was totaled and all these things, but I was not as, like, I wouldn't be going to the retreat. Like, I was affected in a way. It was good for her that she wasn't affected and she was able to still be herself, but it just shook me a little bit in a way, and it made me wonder more about that whole situation.
I mean, I had a situation that was somewhat similar. I totaled my car, essentially, hurt my neck and everything, but I had to film the next day. You know, so wow. I can kind of understand, you know, you got the train has to keep moving. You know what I mean? It has to sort of like, she can't stop being the mom. She can't stop filming the show. The retreat is happening.
That's,
you know,
fair.
The filming is, you can't get out of that. Yeah. So, you know, my thought was, but the only thing that I was thinking about was, when she, because she kind of said, oh, I had how many, I guess two drinks at lunch. And so it was like, that means to me, if I'm doing the math in my head, that you were driving home in the afternoon, right? So this is during the day.
Yeah.
You fell asleep during the day, not even at night. Yeah. So, you know, was this more of a, and I like Monique, I really, really do. So I'm just asking the question because it's on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Was it more of a, like, I fell asleep because I was a little tipsy, or I was a little tired, or I was a little tipsy and tired.
Right, and the show must go on. I agree, and I said that's fair that you mentioned that. What was weird is that she wasn't, like, her confessional was completely opposite to that. It was like, oh, it's no big deal. And in fact, she was going ham on Ashley on Twitter because she was mad that Ashley said it was four drinks, and she, oh, I have the receipt, and you also had four drinks. What I'm saying is, when it happened to me, and I guess a situation like that happened to you, I was the least combative I've ever been in my life. I was, like, served to my holiest high of spirits because I was like, oh, my gosh, this was a Sunday, but if this would have been a Monday, like, there could have been a child. It just seemed like she didn't take it as serious, and I'm only being critical because I've been through something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, the crazy thing about it is I feel like to her, maybe, I don't know if she downplayed it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it was purposely downplayed by her or she just was matter-of-fact about it. You know what I mean? Because I feel like if she was just matter-of-fact about it, she's telling the story and not really thinking that there's going to be much fallout from that.
Yeah.
But little did she know, she's friends with Ashley.
The MVP.
You know, had this been Candace, I don't think we would have known that Monique had more than two drinks.
No.
But because Ashley is an MVP, we know that, you know, Monique was, you know, drunk, according to Ashley. So, you know, that's a difficult story, because what that does is that paints a different picture of Monique.
It does. It does.
Well, okay, and the best thing about it, because I've said a couple times that Monique is, like, my least favorite to watch. No judgment, but it's just, very uninteresting to me. Some hypocrisies, too. But I won't get into that right now. What I will say is fantastic about the situation is, because it happened, I do hope that it's an eye-opening moment for her. And she did reflect on that a little. Yeah. She reflected on, oh, it's, you know, I do maybe need to slow down, and I've got too many things going on. And so you have a great life, Monique. Let's live that great life. It's a very good wake-up call. So I'm being very serious that I do care about Monique in this episode.
Absolutely.
quite a bit, because it's scary.
And she's, to me, like, I've always found her to be very likable. But I really liked her in this episode because
I too
like drunk Monique, ironically.
Everyone
you know what I mean?
Does.
Like, you know, to me, she's fun. I feel like she's the kind of person who, when she's drinking, she kind of forgets what she says and she doesn't really care whose side she's on. You know, she takes any side.
And she's
a
happy drunk.
She's
too.
A happy drunk.
Not
I
a
like
mean
that.
Drunk. Yeah.
I like
she lets
that.
Go.
You know, come on, Dorinda. she's giving me a little bit of Dorinda vibes.
Yeah.
So I want to move on to Giselle really quickly. Because I need to, I'm trying to save Sasha and Candace for last.
Okay, we're tuned in, buddy.
Okay, so there wasn't really much with her. I mean, just this whole element of Sherman being kind of away and not communicative, which I feel like, I don't know if that's, I mean, is that for the show or is that, you know, reality? You know what I'm saying? To sort of, you know, give that relationship some drama, because it just doesn't seem like it has any drama. It seems like a perfectly normal, happy relationship.
And now all of a sudden he's being really distant, so, yeah.
True. I don't know that it needs drama, or is that what you're insinuating that it does
need? I didn't get it. It didn't jive with me.
I could totally see it wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
The Giselle part that I enjoy, of course, I happen to be her Virgo brother, and I always agree with tons of the stuff that she does. Mm-hmm. She was just in a situation. She was like, okay, well, if he ain't going to be, you know, into what I'm doing or keep up the pace, it's fine. Like, she's not stressed by any of it. I do think other people are stressed, and other people are like, aha, worry about your stuff, Giselle, da-da-da-da, your man. She does not care. Like, she's entertaining because she likes him. If it ain't gonna work, then she'll push it to the side and move on.
I just feel like it's gonna work, so I just don't even feel like, I don't know. I just feel like it was a little bit amped up, you know, for the show. That's just me. I don't know.
You might be right.
Yeah,
you know actually saying? Are 3 for 3. I've agreed with you.
Yeah, because
I feel like they have. I just get this feeling of a good, positive relationship. Mm-hmm. So that's just me. By segueing into Giselle, we kind of get into this sort of three-way craziness. I feel like there's so much to unpack from this episode. We're not going to be able to do it all in one episode. So we'll do the best that we can. But this whole, let's start with Charisse and Candace butting heads. Let me ask you a question. Charisse, fun shade or BITCHY shade?
BITCHY shade.
Wait, at what time? At the Cairo?
At the Cryo. At the Cryo, yeah.
Yes.
It's at Cairo. So when you watched it initially, before even getting to the end of the episode, you said, out of line.
I did.
Oh,
and
I did.
And then when I got to the end, I felt like it was still out of line.
I didn't see it as out of line.
You didn't?
No. And I didn't think Candace saw it as out of line, which was interesting.
It felt like more...
What'd you think?
Like fun hazing, and she kind of laughed it off. I felt like they all kind of laughed it off. But clearly Candace felt a certain type of way about it. But I do feel like there was... It's one of those situations where you can say something that's really kind of rude, and if you laugh afterwards, it's like you take away their ability to call you out on saying that. Does that make sense?
Okay, there's a world of shade, and I think Richie's pretty familiar with it. I'm familiar with it. I get it.
Damn, make it sound like I'm not familiar with it.
Well, the way
you shortly leave me out, though.
The way he just described it, it you know, sounds like you're pretty familiar with it.
Yeah, I'm definitely familiar with it.
So am I. So I feel like this. Just to shorten my whole broad paragraph view of it, I feel like it was shady. It was unnecessary. It was a little BITCHY. However, Candace is the younger one. These older women, they're going to try you. They are going to try you. It's what happens when you are around older women. They're going to shade you. And if you can't take it and catch it right there and have a response and have thick skin, then maybe you shouldn't hang around these kind of women, because Candace's response was, she was trying to stand up for herself, okay? She was trying to stand her ground, and I completely understand where she was coming from. However, it was kind of emotional, and she felt attacked. I don't think Charisse was trying to attack her, but you can tell that she reacted as if she felt like she was being attacked.
What do you guys think about the argument on the bus, though?
That's where she got super emotional, and it got out of line. She started saying, I'm like, oh, she's taking this too far. Just know how to catch the shade, throw it back, and keep it cool. But but again, I understand Candace's perspective, because she wanted to defend herself.
Yeah.
You know? So.
What did you think about the argument on the bus?
It escalated quick.
It did.
Jeez. Edits.
Whatever, I feel like we haven't really seen that level of argument on this show.
Where like almost everyone didn't know what the argument was about. I loved Karen's face, and I loved Karen's comment. Like, I need to get off this bus. I felt like the same. I was like, I don't want to be here. You know, what do I think about it? Well, the funniest thing is, yeah, there was a little bit of, you know, Monique said, this is what I would do, which, of course, charged Candace up. That doesn't take away from Candace's independent thought. I understand she feels and wants to air out her grievances at a different time. But what was funny is that, you know, Monique certainly was pivotal in charging that up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then drunk Monique was nowhere to be found. And if that's So to all of our knowledge, we actually all like drunk Monique.
Because I told you.
You want to talk about Ashley and stirring it and stepping away. Monique gives us a different person. Actually, Monique, when she's drunk, is like a mix between Ashley and Candace. She could stir it like Ashley, and she's fly as hell like Candace. Mm-hmm. That's what's so funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did not expect that argument to go to that level. And, you know, I think that Candace, to me, definitely earned some stripes in that situation because she stood up for herself.
Yeah.
Like, in a major way.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. To literally, as we kind of see, you know, Charisse is literally the sort of the centerpiece of this group,
mm-hmm.
even though she's just a friend mm-hmm. this season.
She was seeing how far she could go with her. That's just how I feel.
I can sort of see that as well.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and so many other things I want to touch on, but let's go ahead and get to this dinner / lunch or wherever they were. The question on the table is, does Candace owe Charisse an apology? Because Giselle and Team Giselle, Charisse, and Robin seem to think so.
Oh, by the way, that was very sticky that Robin was in the other vehicle.
With those girls,
did
right?
Did you see her face when they mentioned Giselle?
I was like, who set this up? This is not right.
But yeah, does Candace owe Charisse an apology?
They owe both each other an apology. It was a misunderstanding. They can, yeah.
I think as much as you're going to come for somebody, you also could understand, like, this is a show where there's all of these women together and they're all, you know, establishing themselves as really great people. And if there's something that went out of the line so far that it's like almost looking like, you know, it's not insinuated that anyone was going to put hands on anybody, yeah. but it went too much. So I feel mm-hmm. like whether it's like, I'm sorry for what I did. Okay, fine. You don't have neither of them necessarily need to do that. But let's say I'm sorry that we both spazzed out because we right. both took it yeah. too far.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, my big critic on this show is like, for new cast members coming in next season, I want like a Nicole Murphy type. Like, I want somebody
yes,
who could give a good read and is seasoned and has, you know, skin in the game, all these things, and won't go so crazy that
you
it
can't
get,
be
gets
out here getting all emotional like that.
Who's emotional?
Candace was really, really emotional.
I don't actually think she was that emotional.
I think so. I think she was standing I think
she
her
was,
ground.
She was a lot here for it. I was totally here for it.
I think she was more like what Richie said, which she was standing, or what did you say, standing her ground?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was more, I don't think she actually had much emotion. That's what's funny. When I talked to Candace when we did the interview, it's like, my thing is like, Candace, rock out with Giselle, because I like them both. They both don't give a care. They are both so fly. Let their fly just be fly. Like, nobody cares. But it's just not working in that way.
I mean, you know, listen, I definitely feel like Candace stood her ground this entire episode. I mean, and I do feel like Monique and Ashley too kind of
yeah.
wound her up a little
bit.
You know
definitely
what I mean?
Ashley.
And I do, and you know, I would wager to say that that's going to come back up at some point.
Mm-mm.
Oh, like being called out?
Oh yeah, I think that's going to come up.
Two side notes.
Yeah.
First of all, Candace's look yesterday and Watch What Happens Live, good God.
Amazing.
Yeah, so the other parts I'll pick on her personality or whatever is not that. Like, her look yesterday was fantastic. Question, if you said that you think things are going to go back and forth a little bit, where do we think Karen's going to sit in this? Because Karen is doing a really good job at not being involved in the drama, but does she get the bone collector points at some point by doing that? It hasn't happened yet, but if she keeps doing
that's
this...
That's a good question.
Well, based on the fact that she was on Watch What Happens Live with Candace, I'm going to assume that she's probably going to be on that side. Because, you know, her and Giselle kind of have their moments. I feel like her and Charisse kind of have their moments. But I feel like she's going to kind of take, you know, Candace under her wing a little bit. That's
like she
I
did
think.
Ashley originally?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I would like to see that. Because I like both of them. So I would like to see that.
You know, and maybe we'll see, you know, Karen rocking some Prima hair
yeah.
next season. Who knows? So really quickly, I do want to do any quick predictions you guys have for the next episode.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I'm almost happily uncomfortable about the fact that they're still together, because if all that happened, it's just episode one and they have to be in each other's proximity again. I am worried to the point of like Bethany and Jill Ben-Simone type like I don't want to watch it, but I'm watching it.
That was epic.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting of next episode. Like, you mean they're stuck together and there's gonna be some that's kind of all I have.
What about you?
I think I agree with you. I agree. I feel like we're going to get more into this Ashley and her mom and Michael situation. Hopefully on the last episode, the mystery man will pop up.
Wait, which was mystery man?
The leech.
Yes.
Oh.
The shadow man. I just think of a shadow when I think of him.
I think that we're going to definitely see more fallout from Monique's accident. I feel like that's just kind of beginning to brew.
But Monique is the type, just from observing her with the miscarriage situation in this, she kind of really emotional and touching situations. She seems to take it on a chin, meaning she seems to just keep it all in. And well, I think it might unravel.
You know? I think that with Ashley stirring that pot, then we're definitely going to see it unraveling. That's just my thought.
That's a nice term. I can see that because she leads with such a perfect life. Mm-hmm. And that is what is her personality. I've asked many people, the ones who I say, hey, what do you guys like about Monique? And I say, sans being a boss. Like take that out of the equation, because I don't even know what her job is, so I don't know how you're a boss. And then they always say, oh, wow, I don't know what her personality is. Whereas like every other woman on the show, you get what their personality is. And with Monique, I feel like that's something that she needs to address. And I only thought that right now because you just said she holds it all in. And I'm wondering, is she holding it all in? Because people go where the love is. And the love for her is saying, I'm a boss. Mm-hmm. When she says it, people react. Somebody like me says, but are you a boss? Like, I question things. So she's going where the love is. So if she's going where the love is by being a boss, if something is sticky and vulnerable,
right,
I think you might be onto something, that she may hold it at a reserve level.
It seems that way.
Because that will take her demographic, that'll shatter them, because they want to see boss, boss, boss.
Yeah, and some people, they handle traumatic situations that way. They don't really know how to really express it.
Well, that part's fair. And she is going to therapy, I think, with the husband, so that's good. I will say, and I said this last time, I like the Chris of the Chris and Monique. I love their dynamic.
It's such a positive...
He's fantastic, yeah. I sometimes wish he could, like, step to her and say, hey, you know, these are some things that maybe you should work on. He's so good to her that he lets her run and do all of these things that are... to me, this is just to my viewership, I'm like, I don't know. You don't feel that way.
I just feel like, you know, with regards to, I think, everything that you guys were saying and sort of her sometimes painting this picture of perfection, is that there is no perfect life. And I feel like we're going to be able to start to see the cracks in that, to, you know, start to show. But I feel like that's only going to humanize her.
It is.
Well, as we talked about humanizing, we all react to Karen, because Karen is also a boss or a grand dame, but there's the layers of, you know, where it fell off, and it's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch, and she's making it fun. So we will continue to have fun watching these ladies, and you guys can catch us right here next week. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Richie Sky. You guys can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at DJ Richie Sky. Where can they find you guys?
Randomly RJ Ronnie Jr. Thank you.
You guys can find me on all social media, Nigeria Manal. Thank you.
Be sure to tune in next week and watch all of our AfterBuzz TV shows across the board. Give us 5 stars, share, comment. We'll comment back. And we will see you guys right here next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. TV.